Welcome to the edition of The Scenario. This is a special one, you know, with that interview series that we've been telling y'all we was going to be doing. And we was going to highlight the homies that came into the fold. We've been putting their shows up. A lot of respect and love, people out there. Man, I'm going to let y'all introduce you because y'all intro is one of the best intros ever.
Yeah.
A podcast ever.
So you want the real intro or you want the abridged
version? I want the real intro.
Oh, he want the whole thing. Real thing. Hey, drop it.
Oh man, hold up. Well, you're gonna have to spice this in here to put the whole theme song in there. I'm like, hold on, man. Okay, I got some bars on the podcast already. That's cool. I'm good with that.
Well, no, introduce y'all show for everybody. Wrestling podcast. Let's go. Introduce it and let everybody know who y'all are, everything that y'all, you know, came up with this podcast with.
Well, we are the We Coming For You cast. I am ROD, aka Rated R, whichever one you want to call me. And the big man, the host of the show, go ahead, homie.
Man, come on, dog. You the host of the show, too, man. You becoming everything off. But I ain't nobody. My name is RVS. I am the co-host of the We Coming For You cast. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all the at social media joints. Franchise06, FRANCHICE06. Where can I find you at, RLD?
You can find me on all social media platforms at R8TED_R, all them joints, Snapchat, Twitter. I ain't on no damn TikTok. I don't know how that works. I ain't that advanced yet. And I know this quarantine, you didn't got started where you can learn all that, but I'm not with the TikTok, bro. TikTok on my watch, not on the computer. I'm not doing
it. I only signed up just because somebody sent me something on TikTok and I wanted to see it.
Dude, everybody's been doing this. It's all kinds of TikTok crap out there that I've been seeing. People are bored. They're bored as hell. That's all I'm seeing is people all over TikTok.
Like dancing around. I'm like, my body don't even move like that no more.
I like that. Right.
So when you talk about the We Coming For You cast, man, like Brett, like I feel like the title of that like just speaks to exactly what this show is about. Cause like a lot of people I feel like know about that moment, but a lot of people not. So like even explain like where that came from.
Okay. So
I mean, if we need to go with some audio for that, we can too, of course. I will always
No, we can't. So there was, I don't know, Ray, was that a bash at the beach or something like that? I can't remember which one. It was a WCW pay-per-view. And Booker T, if you're a wrestling fan, Booker T and his brother Stevie Ray were a tag team called Harlem Heat. And they had a...
Is that his real brother?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Real big, his real older brother.
His older brother, yeah.
Okay, because he's gone to Jesus, ain't he?
No, Stevie Ray's still around here.
Oh, my bad. Stevie, I'm sorry. I said you wrong. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for a cat going to Jesus. What the hell?
I thought he wasn't with us no more. I'm sorry.
No, he's you thought with he it. Went on to glory. Oh, yeah. Going to Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm sorry, Stevie Ray. My bad.
So they were in the back cutting a promo. And if you knew the wrestling, cutting a promo is you doing an interview. Well, now, who did go to Jesus, the person who's cutting interviewing the promo was Mean Gene. Shout out to him. Rest in peace, Mean Gene.
And didn't somebody else pass today, too?
Yeah, I was going to say rest in peace to Howard Finkel.
Howard Finkel, man.
That's a voice of our childhood. If you're a wrestling fan, you know who Howard Finkel was, bro. I mean, it speaks for itself. He announced WWE since the beginning, since the first wrestling.
Can I do a really bad Howard Finkel real quick?
Go ahead, bro. Oh, man. Got it. The floor is yours.
The following match is scheduled for one fall. It is for the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
and real talk, he used to talk like that.
Yeah.
It's a really bad Howard Finkel.
So he talks like that in general life?
Yes. He talks like a souped up micro machines, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's not like Buffer, where Buffer is kind of like amping it up.
No, it's just who he is, bro.
Yeah, this is who he is. This is how he talked all the time.
Yeah, Kev said he worked in the front office aside from being an announcer.
Yeah.
And he would literally call folks up for a job and be like, hello, this is Howard Finkel. We would like to give you a job with WWF. And they're like, no, shut your ass.
Bro, he got so popular with it. He was so popular with his voice. His voice was so iconic that some people, when they got married, they would hire him as the master of ceremony. So it sounded like you're a wrestling fan or a wrestler coming out. And he did that for several couples, I believe.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow, that's amazing, actually.
Yeah.
So can we do this real quick? Let's play. I want to play that interview real quick. Just so that people can get a feel for what we're talking
about. It's funny that you said that, Matt, because I have it queued up right now. Here we go. Oh.
Even better.
RLD, stay ready, bro.
Do you guys know the story behind that? Like, did he like ex? Was he like, yo, I was just into it, not as slipped, or
So it slipped. Like yo, Booker T is from Houston.
He from the Fifth Ward, I believe.
He nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he from the streets. So he even said this in his own interview. It's like that's just a word that he threw out all the time, and he was just so amped up in the promo. And it just came out. And the funny thing, if you go on YouTube, just type in "We Coming for You, Booker T" on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about this is the look that Sister Sherry has on her face. The entire, like, yeah, no, it's, she's like, yeah, it's cool. No, don't worry about it. It's cool. And Book's like, oh shit, I'm about to get fired.
But that's the biggest thing about the "We Coming for You" cast, man. We talk about pro wrestling from a black dude's perspective.
Yeah.
And we don't just forget where we at. We don't think about the fact that we're talking to wrestling fans. We think about the fact that we're talking to each other. These are the conversations we have amongst ourselves. So yep. It's going to be a lot of niggas said. It's going to be a lot of other profanities.
Yep. Plenty of it.
And we're going to like look at and highlight some of the more ratchet things of pro wrestling as we go along.
Yep. And then we also highlight a black professional wrestler near the end of every episode, so you get the both worlds, both sides of the spectrum, the good, the bad, and the downright just ignorant.
And since we highlighting wrestlers, before we even get, we have emails for y'all that actually came to us, but I need y'all to explain to me this whole idea with New Jack, like since we're highlighting black wrestlers. So I've been watching the dark side of the mat, you know, like I've been just going down that wormhole watching.
Yeah. Explain what that is, though.
So it's a Vice show where they basically talk about the fucked up things that go on within wrestling,
right?
And they highlight a different case or a different individual every episode.
But the real shit behind what goes on in the ring,
right? And I've read online because I had to research this motherfucker New Jack after this, and people were saying like that was nothing compared to how he really was, though. Like they was like, this is like. Tone down.
Yeah, that was just a snippet of this man's like this dude like here's the thing. Everybody was like, you tuned in to watch that episode of Beyond the Mat with New Jack, and all of that shit I already knew about.
Oh wow, okay.
Scratching the surface. Like this dude New Jack. So for the people that don't know, ECW, so Extreme Championship Wrestling, was this huge wrestling company in the mid to late 90s, and they went WCW, WWF was doing their thing. They went the other way. And they was like, we're going to have ultra violence. We're going to have, like, really, really good wrestling at that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the chicks just butt-ass naked on TV. Like, that was the way that they were going.
Right. So
they had this dude named New Jack. And he had been in this territory, I think, in Memphis or something like that. And I think this is on Dark Side of the Ring, but
he started in Smoky Mountain.
Yeah. Yep. So the promoter comes out and tells him, yo, New Jack, I need you to say something to piss the fans off. And the fans are country bunking white people.
And this promoter was Jim Cornette.
Jim Cornette. So this nigga goes
I look at Jim Cornette that he probably says nigga every other day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just me, though. I was making sure.
Yeah, Jim Cornette just got popped for some racist shit, but
right. Okay. Well, that's fine. He's on brand then. All right.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But this nigga New Jack comes out and says, yo, I want to give a shout out to my homie OJ Simpson. Two less to worry about. Keep up the
good. Okay. What year is this? What year is this he does this again?
This was when OJ was on trial, wasn't it?
This is during the trial?
Yeah.
Oh shit. When I was watching, I didn't realize when they said that. I knew he said that, but I didn't know it was during the trial. I thought it was like
that was
maybe
fresh.
Afterwards, or maybe like a couple of years afterwards or something. Or
that was during the trial.
No, that was during the trial. And dude, they said he got so much heat off of that that people was waiting outside to beat his ass. They had to, he had to get escorted by the police. The police had to put him in the car and take him to the police station 20 miles away from the town so he can leave.
Damn.
That's some heat for your ass.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, but that fool, wow. That fool knew Jack, man. Like,
so what is like, because the whole thing, he was just talking about how much I do cocaine. Like,
yeah. So not, he would do cocaine. So basically, when he got the ECW, he had to one up all the violence and all the whatever was going there. So this dude said, you know what? I'm gonna jump off. I'm gonna find the highest balcony in the arena, and I'm gonna jump off that shit onto my opponent.
Yep.
He said what he used to do though. Is while he walking up to the balcony, he'll walk behind the crowd, take some coke out of his pocket, do a bump, and then get up there and then jump off the balcony.
So basically he couldn't feel it.
Yep. Yeah, so he wouldn't feel nothing.
Yep.
But he did that every night, though. Every single night.
But the thing about cocaine, people, if you don't know, it only stays in your system 40 minutes to an hour and a half. Yeah. So when you take that bump, he only got a certain amount of time he can fall off this thing.
Right. So
it's got to be immediate.
Here's the funny thing that New Jack tries. He justifies the shit why he's doing it. He gives a business reason why he started just diving. He started to notice that he was falling off on a card. He was starting to become a mid-card. And ECW was ratings were dropping.
Explain mid-card to people that may not know.
So like a mid-card would be – so like if you watch him wrestling, the main event would have been like The Rock, the Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then your mid-card, and I mean this with no disrespect to any wrestler that's listening to this, or if you know, to any wrestler, a mid-card would be someone like at that time would have been like a Bradshaw or Godfather or Farouk or something like that. So a mid-card guy would be somebody that would do the filler before and entertain the fans before the main event, before the opportunity
of the money. So in a concert, it's like the DJ that comes out before the main event comes.
Right.
Exactly. But they still got it. They still got to be dope though, because you don't want people to lose interest or leave before the main event happens. So
it's like a mid card in boxing. It's like the boxing match right before the main event.
That's
exactly. Yeah. Same premise.
So this dude New Jack was saying that, okay, well, if I'm starting to get missing in the card, shit, I'm just going to start diving. And then that was the number one thing that people remembered. They didn't remember what the finish of the match was or who he fought or whoop-de-woo. They remember his ass diving off of the 15, 20, 25, 30 feet.
So is that choreographed, though, with him saying, I'm going to dive off of something? Or is like the other dude like, whoa, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's choreographed. But how much can you choreograph falling 30 feet?
I know, but I mean, does he just come out one day and be like, you know what? I'm going to dive off of this.
Yeah. No, this shit was planned. No, he definitely had it planned, but.
Because a lot of this stuff seems not playing though from the documentary.
but that's what New Jack wanted you to think. He wanted you to be like, well, if you remember the documentary, there's a piece in there where he talks about this one dude that he like they were in a scaffold match, and he said, "Hey man, we're gonna both jump off this joint at the same time." And he, like,
what was
the
it? Was got, it Balls? It was Balls Mahoney, right?
I think so. I think it was Balls Mahoney, but he was
that's
like,
a,
"Yo,
that's a hell of a name right there."
Right. And he came out to a song called "I Got Big Balls," so that lets you know everything. But he was just like, "Yo, on three, we gonna jump." And on three, dude didn't jump, but New Jack did. So New Jack had him by the collar and pulled him on top of him, and he said he cracked his skull or some shit like that. So the next time they had a match, he was like, "I'm going to kill this motherfucker."
Oh no!
Right. A scaffold.
Right, it was Big Grimes. It was
Big Grimes. That's it. But yeah,
are these porn stars or wrestlers?
They might be both.
They might be both.
I think the scaffold match that they had was actually in a company owned by a porn star. Lets you know the record shit that wrestling is. You know, it's just
right. Okay. I just wanted to keep score for anybody at home. So, there's a lot we can do about New Jack. I mean, we can come back to New Jack. But, however, I wanted to kind of hear about, you know what I'm saying, up front, you know, kind of about how y'all got the podcast going. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was the goal for it? You know, a little bit about y'all background. I know it. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want for everybody else that's going to be tuning in, checking you out here on the network to know, you know, a little bit about y'all as well and know who they rocking with.
Gotcha. Well, man, me and the cat RVS over here, man, I've known this dude since, this is my brother from another mother since third grade, bro. How it all started, I just moved into the neighborhood in Blackjack, Missouri. And
y'all was them uppity North County people early in the 90s, basically.
Oh yeah, bro. We had the nice yards and all that shit. Sidewalks.
I was a kid from the North Side that was broke. I used to y'all area was like the dream of living. I'm like, man, dude, them niggas live in North County. They doing it. They parents doing it. What's wrong with you, mama?
Right.
Meanwhile, we just had parents that worked in factories, and they was
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying, the crazy perspective of life is a child.
Yeah,
this is life as a child. How that feels, you know?
Right.
But I was walking to the bus stop, and I had a WWF magazine. I believe Kevin Nash was on the damn. This is funny how all this shit comes around the circle, man. It was an episode. It was a issue with Kevin Nash. He was Diesel, and he was on the cover of the magazine.
It was Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash.
Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash. So Ray was like, "Oh shit, you watched WWE?" And that was it for 30 plus years. Over 30 years.
Yeah, man. So like basically how the podcast came about, man. We were, you know, we had been to. So we're gonna talk about our WrestleMania trips a little bit later, but we were coming home from one of our WrestleMania trips. And we were just thinking. And we were just thinking about, hey, man, you know, having a conversation, man, we should really start a podcast.
Yep.
But the thing that kind of tipped it off was we were in the airport, and this random dude, I think we had our WrestleMania hats on or something, and this random chubby Indian dude walks up to us, and he said his name was B-Train, right?
B-Train,
like choo-choo train, right? And okay. He just comes up.
All right, so I got to ask again. Porn star, regular guy, wrestler, what's the play with him?
Man,
is he alpha? I didn't know. I don't understand. Hey, like, what?
Calling him a porn star is giving him too much credit, man. We can't do that.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Was this black guy, white guy, Hispanic guy?
Indian guy.
We'll go with Indian guy. He was a brown persuasion.
And with B-Train? Like, that's... Yeah. I didn't know that was available for them racially to do that as their names.
Well, I'm going to tell you it wasn't, because this dude was a regular guy that posing to be a wrestler talking to us like we really gave a shit. So he was
lying? He was lying. Yeah,
He was He was capping hard. So he's like, man, you know, Finn Balor's my roommate. I'm in NXT right now.
Finn Balor? I know that. Yeah. I don't even keep up.
Right. I'm like, come on, bro. So we get down to...
I got to get this theme song, Ray. I got to get this theme
song. Oh, damn.
Go ahead.
So we get down to brass tacks. That's Shining Time Station, if y'all know. Anyway, we get down to brass tacks. We find out this dude is from Kansas City. And he says, hey, man, I'm training at this this facility. I've since called it Super Ultra Mega Pro Wrestling. But to protect the innocent that actually are in this facility. But he said, I'm training at this facility. It's a wrestling school right next to a Dollar General. And was that at Lee Summit?
So it was near Raytown. And it's a legit wrestling school. It really is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's legit. It's legit. But we go ahead.
We decided when we got home, hey, man, we're going to go check this place out and see if B-Train here.
y'all went to Kansas City to see if this is legit.
Well, at the time I was living in KC, so this was the one where we took a road trip. Was it the one in Dallas, Ray?
It might have been. No. We were at the airport. I think I drove to your crib. And
you drove to my So
right.
So
I was
he came.
In Columbia at the time.
Yeah, he drove to Columbia, so he came back with me. We flew out of Kansas City, so he came back with me, and that's how you stayed. We came back Sunday.
And you stayed a day or two extra, and then y'all went by the spot. Like, let me see what's going on with this.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we went. So it was kind of in a hood strip mall too. So we went to the Dollar General, and I'm recording. I got the phone in my pocket recording. We go to the hood Dollar General next door, and we was like, "Hey man, is it a wrestling school over there?" And they was like, "Nigga, I don't know. They be throwing shit around. It be loud over there." And they're like, "Okay, that checks out." But then we were just like, "Hey man, we just gonna go to this wrestling school." So we start asking around, and they was like, "Oh, you mean Brian? Oh, he told you." Oh, he told you he was at NXT? Oh, wow. He's a funny guy. We had that piece of audio. We was just like, you know what? We need to make this a real thing. So we started the podcast.
Oh, wow. So his name is Brian for real?
Yeah, his name is Brian. He went.
Does he wrestle at least independent or something?
Nah. I think he was one of those cats that came around and they took his money. And they was like, all right, man, you can hang out. but you can't do nothing.
Oh, so he wasn't even like in the gym like that.
No, no, hell no, no. Nah, man. Not at all.
Wow.
The shame.
And that's a, so he inspired the podcast.
Yeah,
pretty much. So yeah, man, we've been doing the we named it the We Coming For You cast because as you heard in that clip, Booker T say, Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga. So
that's the blackest moment, one of the blackest moments in the history of pro sports. And now,
I think period in sports, period. Not. I'm talking about like period.
And now knowing what we know about Hulk Hogan, it's incredibly, it's incredibly accurate too.
So funny you mentioned that. So we started the podcast before the Hulk Hogan shit dropped. So episode 6 of our podcast is probably it's the best numbers we've done before getting on the Straight Outta Lowcast Network. But we go in on Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Hulk Hogan real quick. Give us a little sample.
That's a sore spot for me though as a kid though. They branded him so well. They did everything they supposed to do to make him the best person ever.
Hulk Hogan became the daddy that was stepping out on everybody.
It's true. That's a very good point. There you go.
Man, where do we start? Okay, so the story, so you all knew about the story where there was a sex tape out of Hulk Hogan.
Yes, and with the whole thing, he took down, what's the publication?
Gawker.
Gawker. Yeah, it was Gawker.
Yeah, so, and now this fool didn't know why he was smashing that he was getting taped. And
when smashing his best friend's wife at that.
Right, at that.
Oh, yeah, I did not know that detail. Yeah. I did not know the detail.
Yeah, so he's having pillow talk with this chick. And he's going in about, he's pissed off that his daughter is dating a rapper. And Ray, you do the
voice. But isn't his wife messing with a black dude too or something crazy?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Ray, you do the
black voice. Black people are ravishing Hulk Hogan's life while this podcast is coming together.
Yeah. Right. Ray, you do the voice better
than
me.
That may be the title. Hulk Hogan is being ravished.
Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, he's sitting there and he's like talking to Hogan, because Brooke Hogan, she was trying to sing for a while and the brother was producing for her while he was in them guts. And he was just like, you know, brother, he called the chick brother. He said,
he called her brother?
he called her brother, he just finished smashing brother.
Wow, he lives that life like that. He lives that life.
Oh, he's in it. He lives the gimmick, brother. But he's talking. Yeah, but your brother, you know, I hate the fact that Brooke is dating this black guy. And you know, if she was gonna fuck a nigger, I'd want her to fuck a nigger that's 7 foot tall and worth $300 million. Fucking niggers.
He says
this on tape.
On tape.
And that's the part that gets out, because initially it was like, okay, you know, Hulk Hogan
got sex tape thing was the thing that he was suing about.
Exactly.
He messed up his game, though, that I did, because if you put that out there, it's public information, because you're putting it out there, it's got to be public. So exactly. All the tape is public if you want to sue about that one thing.
Right.
Right. Right.
But the part is, he sued Gawker and won.
And won.
No, he won. I know he won, but it means it's out there fully. Like, you have to put it out there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, Hulk Hogan has been on the shit list ever since then. Because after that, you know, he got excommunicated from WWE, which was like, okay, fine, it's the right thing to do. But his whole perspective wasn't, hey, yo, I'm sorry for saying that. His perspective or his apology was, I'm sorry it got out.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You boning your best friend's wife on tape.
On tape.
Talking about how niggas should be 7 foot tall and worth $300 million in order to be with your daughter. And you mad it got out?
Right.
What part of the game is that? So
the thing about it is that automatically Hulk Hogan, who, you know, I mean, let's go back to the 80s. Hulk Hogan is undisputed top 10 cat in the 80s, if you're born.
Yeah.
In that,
yeah.
In between, for like sure. 1978 to like 1985, like maybe even later, Hulk Hogan is got to be top 10 80s cat.
Yep. Like, he's had the belt for the longest probably anybody in history, right?
Bruno Sammartino had it for like what 8 years, but
yeah, 8 years straight.
Is that the modern era? I'm talking about the modern era. Our era.
CM Punk.
Yeah, it's CM Punk actually. Yeah,
really, more than Hogan.
Yeah, believe it or not, CM Punk was like 450 days or something like that.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, I thought Hulk Hogan had for like 5 years in my field, like my kid when I was a child.
Well, Hogan lost it once, but Hogan had two long ass runs though. It was just interrupted.
Right. Like, right. They had to take the belt off of him. They had to take the belt off of him so they can make some more money and him winning it back. So they kind of flip flopped it a little bit.
Because Macho Man had it.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
And then Ultimate Warrior had it, but he had three strong runs with that thing though. Don't worry about that. But so the thing about it is though is that I look at Hogan and it's like that's a big fall. That's a big fall because I was just like, damn. I still sometimes now have to remember I don't like Hulk Hogan. Like I have to be like, damn, hold on, I don't like this dude. Like I can't even turn up. Like I'll watch like an old Hulk Hogan video, like an old Hulk Hogan match, and be like, all right, here come Hogan. I'll be like, oh shit, wait a minute.
And you know what, Matt? It's messed up too, because when he had his run in WCW when he was Hollywood Hogan, that was the best version of him that I liked.
Oh, it was the best 100. Version. Oh, I loved him then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was cold.
Coming out to Jimi Hendrix and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Hogan was out here balling on these cats back then. But, that was a hard thing to go through. But, so Hulk Hogan's coming through doing that. I mean, it just, like, feeds what you're looking for, like, in the type of show that y'all are all about.
Yeah.
Like, what more could you ask for to have happen?
That episode is audio gold.
100%. Like, that, you literally could not ask for more. Like, I mean, we talk about six episodes in. It's just like, it's been hard to top that, honestly.
Yeah, it really has.
So another question for y'all. So, with Hulk Hogan, though, like, has anybody researched how many people died in the military because of Hulk Hogan with all of them? I'm a real American that joined the military because of him.
Wow. Yo.
I'm dead serious about that. I've been thinking about it. Like, dude, if I really ever did a research project, that would be my thing. Like, how many people died because they joined the military because of I'm all a real American?
You might be able to get a grant for that.
Yeah, that thing's off. That thing's off. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I was watching the WWE Network. They had a spell. They have a show called The Bump. It's kind of like their version of SportsCenter.
Yeah. The reason I found out about it is that what's the fine-ass girl that was in the WWE now?
Which one?
I found her page.
You know,
through the other means. And
have a story
and
about
it. And I was like, oh, she's married to a dude that looks like Matt.
Oh, who is that? Wait a minute.
That's it. I had a chance.
Was it Martel? What is it? Martel? Sipping Martel? What's his name?
Oh, you're talking about Bianca Belair. You're talking about Montez Ford.
Wait, are you saying that I look like the dude from...
He looked like Montez Ford!
Now, granted, we got some similar habits in how we go to the ring. You
no, dude, I was like, dude, this is Matt.
Great.
And then, like, fantastic. I watched an interview with them. Like, they were like in the show. I saw he was on there. And she snuck on there or something. Oh, I'm like, dude, this sounds like Matt.
So I'm gonna tell you something about him though. So I was won over with him when I looked and saw. I was like, oh, who are these niggas they got on this show, first of all? And then I found out that his homeboy that he rose with played football with one of my chapter brothers back in Chicago where they from. And then I found out that their T-shirt was based off a No Limit cover. I said, oh, yeah, this might actually be me.
I didn't even know all these details.
Everybody that I would be if I created myself on a video game that was wrestling. So I was like, okay, I can see that. All right, cool.
Like for those that don't know, this brother walks to the ring with a red Solo cup full of brown liquor.
Right.
Presumably brown liquor, because why not?
I think now is the time, and I mean, we can segue into some other topics, but I feel like now is the time, even though it may not be the best, you got to figure it out. I think this may be the best time to kind of really go into the racial aspect like they used to in WWE. Like right now you need like, The Hotep dude. Like, I mean, like the dude
yes,
that just
the Hotep
comes out
would
there.
Be amazing.
Oh, bro.
Yep.
That would be
you know what
amazing.
Saying? Like, you tell me that wouldn't be a killer.
Right.
The Nation nomination needs to come back. Like, you bring it back.
Yeah.
With Farouk, too. They, like, I'm talking about, like, we bringing it back.
Yeah. They might bring Farouk back.
Dude, you know how much. I know they scared to do it now. Even though it's crazy they scared to do it now. But it's like, yo, this might be the best time for y'all to do some crazy shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, get those ratings up. That'll do it. I thought they were going to do it when they were first making New Day. New Day, of course, Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E, right? But Big E. And I thought they were going that direction before Vince got whiffed of it and told him, yeah, I need y'all to come out like some damn pastors and be extra positive on all kinds of shit. And I'm going to play this bootleg-ass Kirk Franklin song. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did.
That's kind of the biggest problem right now is that, like, we talk about this all the time on the show, but Vince McMahon is 70-plus years old. So he doesn't have the finger on the pulse of, like, culture. I mean, he's never had it on Black culture.
So who does he trust then? So who does he trust then for his marketing and his...
Triple H.
Yeah, Triple H.
Triple H. Really? Triple H is fucking 50 years old, though.
He's the COO of the company, though. He's the actual COO of the company.
That's it. That's the only person that Vince trusts.
And maybe Kevin Dunn, which is his executive producer.
But we're talking about old white men, though.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give y'all a random question. I got so many questions in general just for y'all because y'all brother I can trust. Yo, what was this time when Patrice O'Neal was a writer on WWE?
Yo. I'm trying to remember what era that was exactly where Patrice O'Neal was on.
I believe it's like 2001, 2002, I think.
Rufus Aggression. In that Rufus Aggression?
Yep. Yeah. So believe it or not, that was the era that birthed John Cena, Randy Orton, Edge started getting hot.
Brock Lesnar.
Like there was some major cast that kind of popped up around the time when Patrice O'Neal was
Chris
like,
Benoit.
Chris Benoit. Well,
see. And so it's 2000 and 2001.
Yeah. Yes. So that was it was like immediately kind of post Attitude Era. They're kind of trying to. I think they had just started SmackDown around the same time. So Rock was still popping heavy. Stone Cold, he was hurt at the end of 99, I think it was. It came back mid 2000. So you have some monsters around what Patrice O'Neal was writing. So I can only imagine what he actually wrote for The Rock.
Right.
Is this around the Godfather time is all I need to know. Oh, I mean, yeah. I can't remember in my mind. I think it was.
Wait, I think that's a little bit after The Godfather.
Godfather's around then.
Godfather, 2000? Though, if you... Ruthless Aggression, that's Attitude Era. That's the heart of the Attitude Era.
Well, no, but 2000's Godfather. I know that because I went to, when I was in college, we went to, WWE Raw in Ames and this was Al Snow had the Hardcore Championship. This X is 99.
Yep. Was that when he was asking if everybody wanted some head? Yeah.
Yes, and we had no. So we had signs saying head, and mo head. They never put them up. It was like five of us. It was like head, and mo head.
Yep. So
it never came over to us. We was right by the ring. Like you couldn't even, it messed up the whole match.
So, you know what? It's funny that you brought up Godfather because me and Ray have actually met this guy. His name's Charles.
Shit.
Yeah, my man Charles.
Papa Shango?
Man Charles, bro.
And what
my man Charles, you know about first name basis shit.
Yeah,
dude.
Charles Wright. Yep. we chill with this cat, had beer, chill with him. And it was some other wrestlers that was there too at that particular time. We was chilling outside because there wasn't nothing else to do. But that version of Godfather that you saw, that's him in real life, minus pimping.
Oh, really?
That's him.
That dude loves cannabis and loves women.
Living the gimmick, bro. Living the gimmick, brother.
But he's one of the coolest cats that, like, I ever, if you just sit down and shoot the shit with him, super fucking cool dude, bro. Super cool. He talked about how he was managing the strip club in Vegas called Cheetahs. That was his. He was first.
Oh, so I've been to Cheetahs before.
Yep, and then he became. So how long ago was that? Because he might have been.
No, this is way after though. I'm talking about this is like 2004.
He was probably working there.
Okay.
I want to say either he owns it now or he's like still working there. I think he owns it now because he put us up on game too. He said what he does is he has the club. But every Wednesday night, he'll dress up like the Godfather. He already charging, busting heads to get in. He's like, yo, throw me an extra 30 and you can get an autograph. And I'm like, yo, this is awesome, man.
Yep.
In the strip club.
So if this is just an informer for everybody. If you check out the last episode, not the Jimmy Snuka episode, But the last episode when he talked about Brawlfall on the dark side of wrestling, you'll get a lot of information from Godfather. It's a good show. I recommend all of y'all check it out. It's pretty cool. And Godfather talks about it, kind of a snippet of what I just basically said. So, you know, Charles Wright, my man Charles, cool. He even gave us the hookup where if you ever went to Vegas, he said, send him an email. He'll have a limo come pick you up and give you free access into the club.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's gangster.
Yep, yep, yeah. Charles Wright is the homie.
Charles Wright, but y'all got to get some interviews of these guys, man.
Yeah, we definitely do. We definitely do. We got to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, get some of these stories, man.
Yeah.
I keep saying we might have to put some of these stories on Patreon because it's like this ain't a story for everybody.
Yeah. No, I ain't mad at that.
Yeah.
So now let me jump in these emails and we can go into some other topics I know Matt got as well. First one comes from E Genius. He says, so outside of The Rock and any other black wrestlers that are not popular now, who is the best black wrestler of all time?
Ooh.
Damn.
That's a damn good question. Outside The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, I feel him on that, though. That's an easy one.
Can I offer somebody up to mix it up that probably doesn't get – that probably gets overlooked in this conversation?
Yeah, let's say go ahead.
Mark Henry.
Well, yep. Yeah.
Mark Henry is up there. Yeah, he's definitely.
Is he better than Big Ron Simmons?
Ron Simmons is not better.
Yeah, let's clarify this then for the question. When we talk about now, what do we mean by now? Give me a time frame.
I don't know. I'm looking at the email.
We can decide it.
I was just saying anytime after 80.
Okay. I was like, we could go back to Bobo Brazil if you want.
Yeah. Well, then if it's any time after 80, it's Booker T.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the answer. No, that's it. That's the answer. I mean, it's five time.
Yeah, but, if it's any time after 80, I feel like it's Booker T. But again, I'm not the wrestling person here, so let me know.
To me, I think it's a tough question because then you got to think about cats who actually broke barriers as well, too. And what I mean by breaking barriers, they made history. I mean, but outside of The Rock, of course, New Jack.
Literal barriers.
But if we talk about, I mean.
Did New Jack ever get a belt?
Nah, I don't think so.
Not a major belt. But that's kind of what my point where I was going to when we talk about championships. I mean, you got to throw Ron Simmons in there. You even got to throw in, believe it or not, R-Truth, because he's actually the first black NWA champion. Believe that.
Okay. Yeah. Time out. Really? Let's do this. Hold on, time out. Let's talk about R-Truth for a minute. So let me tell you about this real quick. The first time I ever saw R-Truth on TV, I happened to be there with Ray, with your chapter brother, with one of my best friends, BG. And he walked in the room and looked at TV. He said, hey, man, turn that off. That is horrifying. Like, he just – R-Truth is one of the top five cooning black people on TV ever. But
I agree.
It's working and it's keeping them there.
How is he able to keep this up though? Is my whole point.
Cooning is a lifestyle. Once you're there, you're there.
Well, no, but this is like extra, like this cooning is like it's not even worth the cooning.
This cooning is like the onion ring in your fries.
There you go. Okay. I can see that.
With a little bit of mayonnaise on the side, just like for no reason.
Yeah. Next level cooning is what we got here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on the question though. Each of y'all, give me like a conglomerate of y'all. It's like the top five black wrestlers that aren't The Rock.
Booker T, Ron Simmons, shoot. Damn, because it ain't many of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not many of them that got that mainstream. Like,
what about the African American champion?
Kofi Kingston?
No.
The real
African American champion. Bobby Lashley.
Hold on. Hey, look. Hold on. Since we talking about Bobby Lashley, Bobby Lashley should be the champion every year, regardless of everything that's his physique.
So, Daryl, I need to introduce you to this. Okay. Me and Rodney can do this because this happened during a house show that we went to last year.
It was last year. Yep.
Last year seems so far away considering, but last year could have been like the 80s the way I feel right now. But,
right.
but at any rate, we were sitting there and we said, man, WWE really needs an African American champion. but not like a pro black champion. Like the type of African American dude to come in there and you'd be like, oh, see this nigga here. Like, and like the one that went to college and started only dating white women.
Right.
And like the one that's out there, like, okay, completely has jumped the shark and is like out there. But this brother is the African American champion. He's wearing all white. He's only got white women as valet. Like, he's pissing off everything underneath Arkansas to a level that it hasn't been angry in a long time. We're talking about the biggest heat in the history of TV.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the funny thing. We said, okay, for his first shirt, we need him to have a shirt that's going to just like generate this heat that's just ignorant. Like, just, yeah. And we started talking about, like, okay, so there's a woman wrestler who's married, and this is black woman wrestler. Her name, what's her name? What's her name, Ray? What's that girl name? She called his husband. Her husband called her the king of black. Well, the queen.
We talked about this on the show. Yeah. You know, remember we talked about the king of black, the king of black ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like how stressful of a title that would really be.
Yeah, that's that. You don't want that in your life.
Yeah. No, so no. we thought of this idea. It's like, yo, his first shirt should be called "I Am the King of White Women," and he could walk around with this shirt, being the king of white women all over the country.
Those are the things I think they need to go into in wrestling. That's what we said.
They scared though, man. That's
but
that's
my thing though. Y'all always been living that lifestyle of being on the fringes like that. Let's do it, baby.
But that's the thing. Make money out of it.
Yeah, but that would be too much of a measured, and really, it would be a smart thing to do. And it's just something that's not on, because Vince McMahon looks at things from the, okay, being an oppressor standpoint. But the king of white women, though, come on now. He ain't gonna let no black dude have that much juice in WWE.
I mean, y'all let New Jack come out here and say that OJ was his boy.
That's why Vince ain't there.
So y'all think New Jack would have made it to WWE if he
won
the system?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. He wouldn't have made it.
Also, if he wouldn't have did the OJ thing. I'm talking everything else.
And if we're going to talk about the king of white women, yeah, let's just say he probably was the first. And I don't want to get into that story. Just Google it.
Are you talking about New Jack?
Yes, there's a
story. Of course he is. Come on, man. If you're going to go that hard that way, you only going to deal with white women?
New Jack is quoted as saying, if you ever see me with a black woman, she's some kin to me.
Damn!
There's a specific story about New Jack in this one.
Wow!
One.
So do we make New Jack this guy and just rebrand him?
Oh, New Jack has been the African American champion for like 20 years.
Yeah.
He might have retired.
The belt on, just have him come out with the red, black, and green belt on randomly in Atlanta.
Yes. Yes. I think I'm for it.
There's only certain cities that the African American Championship can be defended in.
Yeah, it had to be Chitlin Circuit cities.
Yeah,
Atlanta.
Yeah. It's gotta be black big cities.
Atlanta, Detroit,
yep.
Jackson,
Memphis. There you go. Keep going. Keep going.
Chicago.
Yep.
Keep going. DC.
Charlotte.
No. Charlotte's not. No, it's not. No, it's not black ass city. St. Louis will be on that.
St. Louis will be on there.
St. Louis will be on that joint.
Compton.
LA, in Compton.
Oakland.
Oakland.
Watts.
Houston.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got Mark Henry. We got Booker T. We got Bobby Lashley, Kofi Kingston. Who's last?
I'm going to throw one out here that might mess people up. I'm going to say Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin is a sleeper, man. Like, he's still doing his thing, too, but people don't give him a lot of credit.
Yep.
What about MVP?
Yeah, him too. Yeah.
MVP's up there too. Still another brother doing his thing still.
Yep. MVP cold too, bro. He cold wrestler. Cold. And again, another cool dude. That's another cool wrestler.
I was gonna give him props. We did like 10 years in the Bing?
Yeah. He did some time. He didn't start wrestling until he was like mid-30s, something like that.
Yep.
So, all right, y'all. So, Didi, we got any more emails that's out there for him?
Yeah, we got one more email. This next email is coming from Thomas T. He says, so if you all had to book a best match ever in your head, and maybe a somebody comes out from dying in the situation, what kind of match would it be?
Wait a minute.
Wow. Wait, wow. What kind of match? Not who's in it, but what kind of match would it be?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking ladder match slash cage slash Hell in a Cell slash, I mean.
And somebody dies at the end. Is that? No,
and somebody can die. They can die.
You know what's funny?
Or bring all weapons to the ring, like literally, like you can only bring like whatever your homie brings to the ring for you.
You know what's funny? That WWE actually just kind of just did this in the recent WrestleMania with the Undertaker and AJ Styles. They just do this.
And then they fired
the backyard thing, the little backyard.
Boneyard match.
Boneyard, okay.
And then they fired two of them that Undertaker killed at the end. So
yeah, and then they fired them. But yesterday?
Yeah. Them dying on WWE is canon.
Yeah.
No future endeavors. You're gone.
You go. Man, if I had to say a match where somebody would be dying on, man, give me Hell in a Cell, man. You can't go wrong with that. Now, don't give me the 1990s version of Hell in a Cell. I want the brand new one, the red one, where it's tall as hell and it's 20 feet on the top. And and you get thrown off of that damn thing, you gone.
Give me Shane McMahon in the match. Like, Shane McMahon will jump off some crazy shit. Yeah. He's going to literally try to kill the other person. Well, no, he's not going to literally. New Jack will literally. No, that's my match right there. I want Shane McMahon versus New Jack in a Hell in a Cell match. The red Hell in a Cell match. And somebody got to die at the end.
Hotep versus Trump. I already booked the Hotep versus Trump because he got knowledge. He didn't went to jail and got knowledge. New Jack went to jail and got knowledge.
We got Hotep, New Jack.
Hotep, New Jack.
I need this. Can you now, bro?
Can you imagine New Jack coming back and being pro to people?
Oh my god!
But he gotta be like so pro to people that it's ridiculous. Like you talking about, you know, Bill Cosby should have been raping all them women. Like he gotta be like that.
Yeah, he's definitely not coming back to WWE. No, that Shane McMahon match. That Shane McMahon match is gonna be tough to put together.
Right.
He'll just wear a Bill Cosby t-shirt.
Oh shit.
Yeah. But he don't say nothing.
Go.
So if there was a brother that could be designed to be the perfect black wrestler in 2020, who would it be? We just talking about a brother that just gets to be who he is out there.
Damn, New Jack is on top of that list. He's up there.
Damn, that New Jack is the is he the best black wrestler of all time?
He might be, bro. He might be.
He's up there, man. Because here's another thing, too. Like, that whole, like, New Jack explains this, too. A lot of people bit off of his persona. Like, all this attitude era and, like, the Dudley Boys, they bit off of what New Jack was doing. Like, when he was in Smoky Mountain doing that whole edgy, I'm a black militant, and then WWE copied off of it. New Jack was doing that in the 90s, and then WWE did it and just made millions off of it. But he don't get the credit for it. A lot of people don't give him the credit for it. But when he was doing all that diving and all that shit, then Vince McMahon paid Mick Foley all that damn money to do the exact same thing. All that shit came from New Jack. So New Jack pretty much started an entire era, in my opinion, if you really look at it.
Yeah. Well, damn.
I can't disagree with that, honestly.
New Jack the visionary. There's something I never thought I would say like that. So let me take that question another direction. Who is legitimately, like as far as character or whatever like that, who is the white wrestler that black people should feel the closest kinship to?
Dusty Rhodes.
Ooh, good question.
Dusty Rhodes. I think about that. Dusty Rhodes, man. He is one of the people. His son married a black woman. Come on, bro.
Yep.
That's true.
Come on, bro.
That's true. I found that through Instagram too. I found out that
Rick Flair's close. He's a close second. He's a close
black,
second.
No wrestler has ever been embraced by the black culture like Rick Flair.
As much as Rick
Flair. That's true. Yeah.
But Ric Flair doesn't have the legacy that Dusty Rhodes has with the black daughter-in-law.
No,
Not at all.
Not at all.
Now, Charlotte Flair goes out here and dates NBA young boy or like look, the baby or something, then we could talk.
No. Oh my God. Just the idea of that was incredible.
Yes.
Think about her making the track for her entrance song.
Oh, shit.
It will slap. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
It might slap.
People wouldn't even know what's going on. They just like, we just know it's Ric Flair. It's all good.
Yeah, man. Ric Flair just – and then I can't think of a rap song that's out – that's been out for the last 2 years that they said something about Ric Flair in it.
Like, Ric Flair is for the people. The people are for Ric Flair in a way that few other things are. I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, when he bounced back from death, man, it was over. It was just like, look, we're going to give Ric Flair all his flowers right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's give him the love that he deserves.
Shout out to Brandon. He was telling me a story about he was on a flight with Ric Flair, and he was trying to ask him why he was in that Migos video.
Are you talking about B-Dub?
Yeah.
And Ric Flair in the same place?
Oh, man.
On a flight, they were sitting next to each other on a flight.
Wow.
Damn. And that flight landed?
Yeah, no, he said they sat for 2 hours, talked about, he said, because they used it, I guess, in a Migos video or something. And yeah, he was like, how did you even get in that video or something like that?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, they called me. He said, if you call me, I'll be in it.
Yeah. I think it was like, what? Which one? Offset? Like, it's a song, Ric Flair Drip, and he had Ric Flair.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, but he's all up in the video.
Yeah.
He's like, Ric Flair, if you called me, I'd have been in it.
Damn. That's crazy.
He's like, I didn't know black people liked me like that until then.
That's what he said.
That's what he told Doug. He said, I didn't know. He's like, I didn't know I had a whole market like that.
That's crazy. That's a classic moment that should have been captured in time on film. You could have had a tape recorder for that shit.
And right. He said this is right after his stroke or whatever he had, the little ailment.
Yeah.
Damn. So what I want to hear about, man, I'm going to turn the corner real quick. I want to hear a little bit about y'all WrestleMania pilgrimages. Like, what that looks like, how y'all go down the road for that, how that started.
So, we would usually watch WrestleMania. I would have WrestleMania at my place. And I think 1 year we was just like, you know what? We need to just go ahead and just go to one. And it's like, all right, yeah, let's go to the one. At least the first one we started was WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta.
I'm about to say that's an important detail, because the first one we went to, we was like, oh, Atlanta, let's go.
Let's go. And that was my
first. So how was that, though, considering it was in Atlanta?
Dope.
It was dope.
We stayed with Jari, didn't we?
Yep. Stayed at Jari Crib.
Stayed there. A lot of WrestleManias would give me access to cities that I've never been to before. And that was my first time visiting, like Atlanta, Dallas, Miami, San Jose, New York. A lot of those cities that I've been to was because
New Orleans twice.
New Orleans twice. But the one in Atlanta was dope. This is when I get so fucking drunk that I don't remember what happened. So a couple of days.
What's that like? What's that like?
I don't know, Matt. I don't just said I don't remember.
Okay. I tried to warn him. I tried to give him a heads up. He ain't listening.
Yeah, I ain't listening. So, but no, man, just like we that the really the one that kind of set everything apart was the one at 29, and the reason WrestleMania 29 in New York was first of all, that WrestleMania was cold, and it was probably one of the worst ones we went to.
Yeah, that WrestleMania was shitty.
It was terrible.
Was that one in Jersey, or was it in Madison Square Garden?
That was in Jersey.
Yeah.
Open air in
right, that's air. What I'm saying. If it was cold, I was like, it's got to be the one. The new stadium in Jersey.
Yeah. But this was when we first met Nash. And shout out to PWR Show. They're a wrestling show out of Milwaukee. I used to live in Milwaukee years ago. And that's how I found out about this show. And I found these guys on Twitter, and they still did the show. But they do a party where Kevin Nash hosts. And so
it's like a regular party.
It's a dope fucking party. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have it kind of set up. So they have like a bunch of wrestlers there, and you have a bunch of wrestling fans that come in and get autographs and whatnot. but it's open bar too.
Yeah.
So basically, like, all the wrestling fans file out at some point, and then basically you're just right there getting drunk with all the wrestlers.
Yep. So.
Oh, because everybody else leaves. Why does everybody else leave?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. You pay all that money for an open bar ticket. I'm a drink it all.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. You gonna have to tell me when to go.
Yep. So
speaking of telling us when to go.
So, like, mind you, so Kevin Nash is doing his whole meet and greet with a bunch of other wrestlers as well, too. And they're all like hardcore super wrestling fans, know everything about it. Just all they want to talk about is wrestling. Now, mind you, me and Ray and a couple other people we with, we gotten drunk and we just partying like it's just like we normally do. And when we finally cut up to meet Nash, he saw that's what we were doing. We went on no wrestling shit. We just talking about actual fucking life. You know
regular,
what I'm saying?
Regular shit.
Shit.
Also, yeah. The other thing was, this is that year Michigan was actually in the tournament that year. So he was, I think the game was on then. So like we walked up and he was like, he saw us kicking and he was like, hey man, y'all know what the Michigan score is? We like, hell yeah. So we started talking about the game.
Yep.
That's how I jumped off originally.
Yep. And that was all she wrote. We've been cool ever since.
Yeah, basically at the end of that party, like they had kicked everybody else out, and we're sitting at this table with Kevin Nash just talking. The people at the venue eventually had to be like, all right, man, we all got to go home. Could y'all please – y'all drinking up all the liquor. I think we finished a bottle of Hennessy while we was
there. Yeah, we did.
So it's like, all right, we got to go. So he was like, oh, man, that was cool. So the next year was the first year in New Orleans, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes. So the next year we was like, okay, we're going to go back to this party. Man, it'll be hella crazy if Kevin Nash remember us. Ha ha, whatever. So we didn't do, like, they didn't have an open bar that year, but they had like a buffet or whatever. We was like, fuck that. We just going to go to the party. So we get there to the party. We walk in. There's a meet and greet. They're doing like a Q&A or whatever. Kevin Nash is on stage. So he gets off the stage after they were just like, okay, it's the end of it. He walks directly up to us and was just like, oh, man, what's up, y'all? I was wondering if y'all was coming this year. We was like, what? Oh, wow.
Right, yeah.
What? So more of the same. We all just drinking and talking and whatnot. And I think, was it the next year when he went in the Hall of Fame or the year after that?
I think it was the year after that.
So the year after that, it was the first time Kevin Nash was going in the Hall of Fame as Diesel. So he comes in, and we saw him. That was the same year we sat down with Charles, the Godfather, and all them. But we saw him walking around, and he was just looking like, ah, man, they got me running around and shit. So the party was like, hey, Kevin Nash is going to give a champagne toast at midnight. He gets up. He's, like, on stage talking. He's like, yeah, whatever, motherfucker. I don't want to be here. So we yelled out something. He turned around. He said, oh, shit. Oh, my boys are right here. Hold on. Hey, y'all say
hey, wow.
Yeah, he was like, hey, toast to y'all. We out. He drops the mic. He's like, yo, to my VIP table.
So he just took you like, yo, come through.
Yeah, he was just like, yo, let's drink. Let's go.
Yep.
And that's when we realized at the end of the night, he was just like, hey man, for real, from the bottom of my heart, man, I really appreciate seeing y'all. I'm really like kicking with y'all, man. Let's, you know. Yo, holler at y'all later. We was like, damn, we might actually be friends with this motherfucker. Like,
he hasn't called us nigger yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. So yeah, I mean, every year we go to the party and like the level of quote unquote friendship progresses. Like the next year, he was just like, hey man, y'all got my number, right? Hit me up, man. I'm trying to see if I can get y'all into the Mania after party. I can't make no promises, but I'll hit y'all up and see. And he hit us up later, was like, oh, man, I couldn't get y'all in. And I'm like, wait a minute. You doubling back? Like, wait a minute.
The school was actually texting us. Like, what? And remember what I said in the beginning. This was how me and this dude, Ray, met off of this dude on a magazine cover. If I would have told myself in third grade and told Ray, like, hey, man, when we get in our 20s and 30s, we going to be friends with Kevin Nash. We going to know him. You would have told me, get the fuck out of my face with that shit.
So y'all got his number, everything. Y'all cool like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Text like, him right now if we wanted to.
Why don't y'all get him for an interview? Y'all need to get him for an interview.
Yeah, we working on that. But yeah, man, I mean.
And like, not even talk about wrestling. Y'all just talk about regular life. And also, was Scott Hall around?
No, Scott wasn't around. So this is around the time when Scott was falling on and off the wagon. I mean, okay. I think he's relatively clean now, but yeah, Scott was way off the wagon to be kicking it like that.
Okay, I was like Scott Hall appropriated a lot because Scott Hall is actually fully white, right?
Oh yeah,
also known as Razor Ramon.
I was gonna say, so this one we're gonna racial theme though, man. I was trying to segue for your racial theme, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you did it because like now, but before we do that, I want to talk before we segue into that. There's still a lot more of this mania. There's a lot more to talk about with WrestleMania because these cats are drinking Crown Royal on pay per view. There's all sorts of things that are happening here. So let's talk about the rest of this experience.
Go ahead. I mean, we treat WrestleMania like it's just anything else, man. So you know, we out partying, we out drinking, doing our thing. But one of the biggest things that we would do is tailgate. You know, tailgate right before the event. You know, it's all at football stadium, so the infrastructure is there to do it. So in Orlando, we're tailgating. You know, Rodney grilling up some shit and. We see this WWE cameraman walk over, and we're like, and of course we're like fucked up by this point. It's like 4:30. We've been out there since 8, and we got a handle of Crown Royal that we've pretty much finished by this point.
Black people coming to wrestling, handles of Crown Royal.
Yeah. We are on brand, if anything else, nothing else. Let me say that.
Sounds about right. Yep.
So the cameraman walks over, and he was just like, "Hey man, do y'all have any WWE themed food at y'all tailgate?" And me being an MC, man, I just start freestyling. I was just like, so check this out, man. We got and I'm just naming off stuff. I'm just like, we got Becky Lynch brats, we got Miz chicken, cause Daniel Bryan, blah blah blah. And I say, hey, so we got some burgers there. They're on the grill, they're getting smoked. Hey, who's gonna get smoked tonight? That was the year that Roman Reigns was fighting.
I said, who's gonna get smoked? Like Roman Reigns is about to get smoked. And he said, oh, we have Roman Reigns burgers tonight.
So we don't think nothing of it. It was like, oh man, there's no way they're gonna use that shit. So the next year, I guess next Royal Rumble, they show a recap of that WrestleMania. And like we were watching it at Rodney Crib. I'll go home. He calls me, he was like, bro, you just cut a promo on WWE Network on pay-per-view.
Really?
Yes. So the video is actually, if you go to my Instagram at franchise06, I just reposted the video, and it's literally you can see the moment when I'm just like, all right, I'm about to start making shit up. I did the black man, all right, let me put my fist in my mouth, let me hold on, check this out. Yeah. Like you see the moment where it happens. But that shit, like to this day, I say it on the part one of the WrestleMania watch along, man. Crown Royal got us to this game. And we're not gonna let it go.
Nope.
Dude, I appreciate Crown Royal so much though, man. I'm a Crown Royal guy myself.
Same.
And I appreciate Crown Royal being that type of institution.
Yeah, they do good work.
Yep. You can't go wrong with Crown Royal.
So before we get y'all out of here, man, I just want to talk about, like, if you just real quick, we kind of jumped around a little bit, but I really wanted to get y'all feel on the history of black characters in pro wrestling and specifically in Vince McMahon's promotion and what that's looked like. Because we all know that throughout time, black people haven't always been portrayed in the most favorable of lights. Lightly as I possibly can.
Of course.
History renews itself every day. So like what like let's just go through. I wanna just throw a couple of people out there. If I miss anybody, throw it out back at me. But let's start with Coco Beware.
Man, so Coco's an interesting case because, like, I was a kid when Coco was out. So it was like, oh, man, you know, this is cool. He coming out with a parrot. Man, that's dope. Man, hindsight, 2020 hindsight, you know, as an adult, I'm like, damn, man.
That was horrible for this culture.
They had my boy out here doing dirty, man. He was actually a good wrestler. He was a Canadian guy. He worked for Stampede Wrestling. That's the Hart Family Wrestling Company. Like, real dope wrestler. And then you see him go to Vince, and he's carrying around a parrot.
So you think WCW would have been better for him at that early point, like kind of like being in the minor leagues a little bit more longer, or like?
I think so. It could have turned into, because WCW was more wrestling based. They weren't so character based at the time. So he probably would have been able to mix it up with like your Flair or your Dusty Rhodes or like some of them cats, Magnum TA. Like he would have got an actual shot at wrestling. Right. Not necessarily being like a nigga with a parrot.
Right. And I'm gonna give another messed up character what they WWE did, Kamala. This cat, they made this cat from Mississippi, But now you turn him into the what was he? The Ugandan giant.
That was Jerry Lawler fault. That was Jerry Lawler fault.
They put a
half. How is that Jerry Lawler's fault?
So Kamala was working in Memphis at the time, and Jerry Lawler, you know, he had the Memphis territory on lock, and that's where he originally from.
Right. He's I know the whole thing. Yeah.
So Kamala came. The guy came into the territory. Big black dude. And Jerry Lawler says that he looks at this brother, and he said, you know, I got this vision of this painting that I saw with this African. With a spear, and it had a moon, and what was it? A moon and two stars in the picture. So then Jerry Lawler says that he takes out a pen and draws a moon and two stars on this brother's belly. And the dude was just like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" He was like, "Nah, bro, this is your gimmick, Kamala, Ugandan giant."
He would slap his belly and make weird ass African noises and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So next up, Junkyard Dog.
Man,
JYD kind of got us. He got a little bit of shine though. He did.
I feel like Junkyard Dog was the biggest black wrestler in WWE until The Rock came along.
Yeah,
100%.
I would say so.
Really? Are we gonna say that for real?
Well, we can't.
What about Ahmad Johnson?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Don't.
You're jumping ahead. You're jumping ahead because I had something special for him. But since we're here, let's talk about Ahmad Johnson.
You mean juice made sugar?
Hold on. Let's do this. Let's cut in. I need to cut in real quick. Just give me a quick flurry of Ahmad Johnson promos real quick so we can understand the type of brother we're talking about.
Sure, I could definitely do that. Give me one second.
Oh, man. Yeah, Ahmad Johnson is – I mean, he was supposed to be the next big black wrestler in WWF. Go. Yeah, go ahead. Juice make sugar.
Shout out to whoever made this on YouTube, man. So back in the day on the N64, or not on PlayStation, they had WWF Warzone. And anytime you would go into like one of them grudge matches, they would do like a full video of the person. It would actually be the person cutting a promo about what he's going to do to you. Well, Ahmad Johnson's is always funny. The reason why Ahmad Johnson is funny is because you never know what the hell he's saying. You can't understand what this man is really saying. And so the guy on here made up his own words of what he thought he was saying. And it's some of the funniest shit you ever seen. Like juice makes sugar. And wonton beef stew and the sand ripper, and you just gotta watch it. I know y'all listeners like, what the hell, the sand ripper? What the fuck is he talking about? You have to watch this on YouTube. It's called Fun with Ahmad on YouTube, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, do yourself a favor, watch that.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll definitely get that. We'll get some of that featured into the show. We've kind of danced around him, man. But let's talk about him, man. Let's talk about The Rock.
Yeah,
man, The Rock transcended the business, man. Like,
Can I put an unpopular theory out about The Rock before we get going, though?
Sure.
Yeah, I've heard a couple people say, I feel like they tried to steal The Rock from us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they did. I think he probably, if it wasn't for the Nation of Domination, would we have The Rock being in movies and stuff right now? I don't know. I mean, maybe
he
not.
He would have got a shot.
I don't think he, because I think that's when that character came to our television screens. Because when he first came in, he was Rocky Maivia. He was Rocky Johnson's son. Shout out to RIP to him. But he was a blue chipper. He had this weird ass box cut with the curl on top, wearing this blue outfit, coming out just being this happy go lucky wrestler. And then the fans basically, at that particular time, the fans was just turning on all the particular what they call baby faces. And if you don't, baby face is the good guy. And fans was just tired of the typical good guy. And that's what The Rock was. And so they would start saying "die." The fans would start cheering "die Rocky die" and "Rocky sucks." And they and Rock recognized that, and he turned heel or bad guy, and that's how The Rock was formed as a character. Ray, you got anything with that?
Yeah, man, I think that, you know, to Matt's point about them trying to steal The Rock from us, I think some of that comes from the perception by even some brothers and sisters in the business, man. Like, they tend to say that The Rock leans a little bit more Samoan. But
no, he leans more towards white. He's not, yeah, he don't lean towards nothing, yeah, but more white.
And, you know, yeah, and that's kind of the thing. Like, I think that's we're talking to MVP about that. I think he was probably just cleaning it up just for the hell of it. But yeah, I mean, I think that's why people sometimes don't say
transcendental person that you don't know who they are and you can't be racially profiled.
Oh, it sounds right. Like you don't like The Rock. Hold on, let's talk about this.
No. I'm just like, I just feel like The Rock just kind of mitigates his life in that in between ambiguity state. That's how he lives.
I might have thought about that until he got that big ass tribal tattoo on his arm.
That's keeping the brand on point.
Right, that goes back to him leaning more Samoan.
He didn't do it for TV.
No, but yeah. But the thing is that the idea of like a brand tattoo is it's ethnic, but it's not ethnic for us. Like, it's like, oh, it's kind of cool. It's people that's black that's got ethnic tribal tattoos in their arm. That doesn't mean anything. So therefore,
well, which tattoo would you have had The Rock get?
Malcolm X.
New Jack.
No, I don't want to go that far. Though. I ain't trying to make it mess up his money. Even though Malcolm X will mess up his money a little bit, but I'm just saying, though.
Okay.
He's still travels in the in-between area.
Now, what I will say, though, the first time that The Rock won the WWF Championship, he was one of ours. He was wearing Versace shirts, shades. Yes. Yeah. Stacey Adams, he was one of ours then. So,
and that did happen here in St. Louis.
That's yep. Yeah. I was there. I was stunned.
Survivor Series, deadly game, man.
Yep.
What year was that?
98, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of like shocking WWE history here in St. Louis.
Oh, I know it is though. Oh, I mean, St. Louis is a great wrestling city though.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the way back to Wrestling at the Chase. I mean, I think that's how my family got into it. Like, my granddaddy used to go to Wrestling at the Chase back in the day. And then, you know, I got it from my older brother. So it was just like, you know, it was on the cracking since then.
Yep. But I mean, even just recent history, like Sting debuting in WWE, that happened here. Raw 1000, the 1000th episode of Monday Night Raw, which is the longest running cable television show on TV, that happened here. The debut of Kane. And that happened here. It's a bunch of wrestling. The first Hell in a Cell match happened here.
The day after both Brian Pillman and Owen Hart passed.
That happened here.
Not the main light of it, but that's spooky.
Yeah.
I would have been like, where are we going tomorrow? I ain't coming tonight.
Oh, listen, we thought for a long time they weren't coming back to St. Louis because it was just it was bad. And it was like one of the first two times that there were big shows here.
Cause then Owen Hart died right before the St. Louis, you said, right?
Yeah, he died in Kansas City. He died in Kansas City.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
okay.
Which we know folks that were from KC that were at that show, and I'm just like, yo, bro, you need to get some therapy. Like, there's
I don't know. How many feet he fall out the sky? Just you can't see that, and then just walk that off.
Nah, he fell from the rafters. Nah, bro,
he was up there.
But I mean, I watched the Bret Hitman Hart thing, like. Is your family though? Shouldn't you be like, fuck them motherfuckers too? Though I'm out too. My brother been saying fuck them too.
Is his immediate family is?
Yeah. Oh yeah, his wife will not let him go in the Hall of Fame. They won't let him put.
I'm talking about him as an individual. He should have known what the game was. Though I'm saying when his brother got played with the game.
Brett ain't passing that cake up though, dog. We still gotta let cats make their living now.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like. I got to understand, Owen. Like, yo, I'm not doing no shit in the rafters, though. It's not going to be right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Owen.
Yeah, I'm talking about Owen. Owen's got to be like, nah, I ain't going in the rafters for y'all, though. Last time that something happened, that I was supposed to be this shocking thing. My brother got fucked.
Yeah.
I think there was word of that rocket gimmick he was doing when he was doing that. I think he didn't want it. I think I don't forgot where I saw it on, but I think somebody.
Because he's supposed to beat the Godfather. That was the match supposed to beat the Godfather for the belt.
I think he said he didn't want to do that. I think that's what he was saying. Of course, you know, everybody's got their own story about, you know, what happened and all of that. But I think from what I heard, and I might be wrong when I say it, but I think it was Jeff Jarrett, because I know him and Jeff Jarrett was real tight. And I think
Jeff Jarrett
was explaining the story that Owen didn't want to do that whole thing at all.
Wow, the great Jeff Jarrett. Wow. Like a great racist.
Yeah, he's up on the racism wrestling map Rushmore.
So then,
but you know what's the craziest though? I can imagine him being like a cool motherfucker though, real talk, because he fucking built in that. I can see him be like, yo, I got you. I know you like Crown, right? Like, you know I do.
I bet you Jeff Jarrett know where to go get some ribs at.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, he's still from like Nashville. Come on now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he's from that. That's something from Tennessee, I think.
Yeah, I think his wife run him around, though. Don't get me started on that.
I mean, that has nothing to do with nothing. We're talking about racially. I don't get involved with the racial things. I'm talking about what he say about black people. That's all I worry about. I worry about black reflections.
Yep. That's fair.
Same here.
Black reflections. Shadows, nigga?
Yeah, no, I worry about black people, though. That's what I worry about. Black, because I worry about black people more on the top of things, though, because we have been through so much shit. We can't deal with the in-between that I got to figure out between your hero or zero. And if you can make that easier for us, I'm fine with that.
Well, okay. I have a request that we can do on you guys' podcast.
Let's
do it. I love the segment that you guys do in This Week in Racism. So can we do it This Week in Racism with pro wrestling today?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go. Hold on.
We got to get that queued up.
Hold on, we gonna do it. I gotta pause it. Hold on. All right, let's go. This week of racism.
Well, as we know, WWE has done massive. Layoffs and cuts due to the coronavirus, and there were a few black people on that list. Titus O'Neil, No Way Jose, who else? Right?
No Way Jose, that's a black guy.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, well, he's like black and Latinx, something like that.
Leo Rush. Yep. Who else? Is that it?
Are y'all trying to tell me most people that got laid off was black?
No, it wasn't majority black.
You know, I looked at the list, though. I'm making sure that I didn't know the names. I looked at it like, okay. I've been so far away from wrestling. I've been like 15 years out of wrestling, though, in general. More than that, maybe.
So, yeah, a lot of people got fired. Right after he fired an entire pro football league, which most certainly requires a lot of black people.
A lot of black people, yeah, that too.
But he also got a furlough, though. He got a furlough to do his thing, though.
Yeah, he got a furlough, and also his wife, who was the leader of Trump's reelection super PAC, who paid the state of Florida a couple days before the state of Florida deemed them an essential business and said they can keep the party going and record more shows.
Mm-hmm. Right. How is WWE labeled an essential business? Help me understand this.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Help me understand that. Yeah, there's nothing essential about watching pro wrestling.
Nothing.
$11.8 million. That's essential to the state of Florida, apparently.
Clearly.
So I'm glad that you brought up the state of Florida, because that is most certainly a key player in this. That the state of Florida has to be involved in some craziness like that, because pro wrestling is about as essential as I don't even know what to compare it to right now, Doc. It's not. This is flat as not essential. We don't need this. We don't have to have this. It's nice, like so many other things. I think we're getting really confused about what's nice right now and what we need to have. That's what's really, I think, throwing a wrench in people's mindsets. But one thing we know that they need to have down there and on the other side of the aisle than what I stand on is money, and they need their businesses open. I've seen more than enough people this week that have justified, well, I mean, if a couple people got to die, I need to get back to work.
Bro.
Like, hey, dog, I think you need to understand that ain't nobody finna go out, though. Still. Just because you tell me to go outside, I don't mean I have to.
Yeah. No, not at all. And definitely not to turn the money back on. Like, hey, I'm going to chill. Right. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
But right. I guess my question I would have, out of those three people on those on that list that got let go, who would you want to come back and why?
The black
people.
I would want Titus O'Neil to come back just because he brings the blackest moments possible that don't cross into the R-Truth zone.
Okay. That's
fair.
R-Truth is egregious though, man.
And that's why R-Truth didn't get fired. They still need him to come out. He is a central worker in this coonery.
And that's crazy though, man. That's some fucked up shit though, man.
There it is.
Our motherfucking truth though, man. God damn, man.
You know, but you know what though, Daryl? Watch his 24/7 on WWE Network. You might get it.
I won't watch nothing with R-Truth with them the braids though. I don't trust niggas with ply braids.
Bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see R-Truth being tough for you because he goes against everything you believe in.
Yeah, like, I don't trust niggas with ply braids, man. Come on, man.
If you had to draw a brother up that Daryl didn't believe in, it would exactly be R-Truth.
Yeah.
It would be that gif of R-Truth that dancing through the screen. There's literally a gif.
The one
of
dancing,
R-Truth.
I gotta shoot him, Noah. I don't even have the gun.
Yeah, he actually scrolls across the screen dancing. There's a gif of that.
Dude, I'm good. Fuck R-Truth though, man. Real talk. Every time he fights, I want him to lose. Every time, period.
You want me to play a song? You want to set it off song?
Oh, here we go. Let's go.
Yeah, R-Truth is also a rapper, if you didn't know.
I know he is.
Ugh.
And he's also an ex-Hammer breakdancer, too.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Hammer hired everybody, stage? Though. I mean, yeah. Hammer hired, like, 5,000 people, though.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, R-Truth is around our age, so I'm trying to figure out how much he was dancing.
Hammer.
So,
R-Truth ain't around our age.
Nah, R-Truth damn near 50.
Oh, shit. Well, then.
Yeah, he damn near 50, dog.
Well, then, yeah. I thought he was like late 30s.
Nah. No. He been in the game for a minute, man. Nah, he damn near 50.
No, they don't make brothers like that. That's our age.
All right, Luke, go and put it out there. Let's go. So what's so funny is like it sounds like an older person trying to do trap shit.
That's what it is, though.
That's what it is.
Okay, I thought it was just me. All right.
That is accurate. No, that's exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
I mean, that brother. Any other time he rapped like Run DMC.
Yeah, no, he got a daughter that it was like, yo, daddy, if you did this, you'd be in there.
That's that damn TikTok, man. It go back to TikTok. That's the problem.
But there's got to be – oh, okay, so I need to go back to my Hulk Hogan thing, though. Like, okay. I literally, as a black man, feel so bad about myself that I loved him in the 80s because he was like, yo, like – they really marketed him that great with the Saturday Night Main Event. They did all these different things to market himself, though. Me, my little ass, I'm like, yo, damn, man. He supposed to be the best thing ever.
Hogan did the reverse OJ. You know, OJ.
You think about the movie? What's the movie with Tiny Lister? Remember the movie with Tiny Lister?
No Holds Barred.
They made a shirt against a black man.
Yep. They did. That's on Stars on Demand right now, too, by the way.
Oh, word? God. Really?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to go back and reverse your anger about that.
And I'll say this about Hulk Hogan, man. Like, I think I was a little bit off the Hulk Hogan train a lot earlier because, the Hulk Hogan during the 80s was dope, you know, whatever he was. But I really like got into wrestling during the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels era.
I was just about to say that.
The thing that I hold this as a fan, as a mark, which, you know, Mark is a fan of wrestling for the people that don't know. But WrestleMania 9 was supposed to be Hulk Hogan versus Bret Hart. Apparently what happened is Hulk Hogan politicked backstage, so him and Bret wouldn't fight. Bret ends up fighting Yokozuna, losing. Hulk Hogan comes out basically after a pay-per-view off the air, beats Yokozuna, win the title. He's supposed to give him a title shot, politic to lose to Yokozuna, then he went to WCW.
Yep.
I kind of never forgave Hulk Hogan for that. And now, let's look at Bret Hart.
Yep.
Excellence of execution. You know, best there is, best there was, best there ever will be.
First cat I ever saw, Rock Pink, and I accepted it.
Right, right, exactly. I was just like, oh, okay, all right, just Bret, though, just Bret.
Yep.
And also, married a black woman.
Yes.
What more do we have to say, man?
That's it.
I'm a Bret Hart guy, not a Hulk Hogan guy.
He's one of the top three. He's one of the top three pioneers for the color pink amongst men, followed by Cameron and Kanye West.
Yep. Years and genres apart, but they did the good work.
They did the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we let y'all get out of here, man, what I do want to do is real quick is that I do want to play the first or a couple. And it might have to be the first. Let's just play a few minutes from the show real quick. We'll go ahead and play a couple minutes from the show real quick so people get a feel of it. And then we'll come back and we'll wrap up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we're gonna reveal who Goldberg is fighting in a very unique way. I just need y'all to sit back and, like, let the storyline play out because you wouldn't go to the end of the movie, blah, blah, blah. Man, on SmackDown last night, they showed a Baron Corbin versus Elias package. And then they said, oh, by the way, Braun Strowman fighting Goldberg, and moved on. Dog. I was like, what? Everybody online is like pissed off because they were like, okay, we'll listen to you, Triple H. And they were just like, oh yeah, man, Roman Reigns ain't gonna be there. Bye.
Roman Reigns ain't gonna bye.
Man, we should be there, dog. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, come on, man.
You know what's crazy? So this shit looked like Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor would have been today.
Right.
Somebody got asked Gronk how you feel about Tom Brady going to Florida.
Your WrestleMania host with the most.
Why are you wearing that bright ass green ski shirt?
People gonna be buying them Gronk Mania shirts. Watch.
Man, this shit whack, dog. This is WrestleFest. This ain't Mania. Shit, this is WWE Wrestling Challenge. Fuck that.
Man, this is Ring King.
Right.
This ain't even pro wrestling on Nintendo.
Oh, what the
Starman and all of them. Okay, okay. We might actually be in sync now.
Who?
I'm about to say, I think our videos might be in sync now.
Okay. Mojo Bobby came out with this Tony Montana off the rack from Marshalls.
Man, you can only get that in the Marshalls in Tallahassee, though. Only in Tallahassee. It's like one Marshalls in Tallahassee. You got to go to that one. Man, I should have got on early enough to actually look at the card. I have no idea who's fighting who.
It don't. Welcome, everyone, to We Come For You, Cass. we streaming WrestleMania live. Same shit. We don't know what's going on. We don't know the card. Just enjoy yourself. We got more people that's going to jump on this stream. Where can they find you at?
Yeah, this is RVS, and you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, any social media that begins with the at logo. You can find me at Franchise06, FRANCHICE.
Including the Cash App.
Yes, yeah. Including Cash, especially Cash App.
I can send all of you some tips.
Let's do that. Let's go ahead and do that. Where can they find you at, Rated R?
You can find me at R18R on all social media platforms. My Cash App ain't that, but you can find me on that. We are now live on the Straight Outta Low Cash Scenario Network. We are officially on live on that bitch.
Yes, sir.
Network. Hey, shout out to them for shooting us out and on their stream as well, too. If this is your first time listening to the We Coming For You cast, welcome aboard. Two black dudes from a wrestling from a black dude's perspective, and we're gonna get drunk and listen to this shit show that we have called WrestleMania today.
And speaking of Matt Whitener on a straight out low cast of the scenario, I didn't realize that you had to actually push a button to let people in the meeting. But he's been sitting outside for the past 5 minutes. I'm sorry about that, brother.
What's up, Matt?
What's up, Matt? What's going on, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
Chilling, man. This is the worst first match since like Mania 4 or something like that.
Well, you forgot they had tag team champions, didn't you? God, sure in the hell did.
I expected Demolition to come out.
Demo-bitching.
Really, at this moment, anybody could come out right now with the way this damn Mania is set up. Shit, me and you can go out there.
How long is this going to be tonight?
Until 9. The guy says. They about to show Drew McIntyre some other shit.
Man, so.
Just a little sample of what's going on over there.
Just a little bit of the jungle that you got there, man. Just a little bit.
My thing always is that, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that people enjoy, but people enjoy it just a little bit different when you got that black flavor doing the analysis on it. So
yeah,
that's the thing, because wrestling is one of those things where I feel like it gets the most, it picks up the most when you add people to it. Like, we've gone to wrestling matches and just completely blacked out the commentary, sitting in the middle of the stands, just cracking people up. They're just like, what the hell is happening?
Right,
doing this. Even the wrestlers can hear us and be trying not to crack laughing when we be out there talking during the match.
I think another reason that me and Ray decided to do the podcast, because I mean, back in the day, it's tough being black and being a wrestling fan. Like, cats don't really look at that. Like, they're like, oh, you be watching that fake stuff, but you motherfuckers getting mad because Tyreek on Power killed Ghost. Oh, y'all know that shit.
God damn, that's the best analogy. God damn.
And people be mad. We like, it's a work, man. What are you talking about?
Right.
It's a work.
That's kind of one of the reasons we decided to do this podcast, is because, hey, man, you know, a lot of cats ain't got a place where they can vent and listen and enjoy themselves from like-minded black dudes. So we provide that outlet for you guys to do that. So there it is.
Absolutely, man. And y'all gonna be here. Y'all gonna be here on a regular basis, man. On the Straight Out Low Cash Network.
Man. Yeah, man.
We continue to add in more content, more different lanes, more different things. It's a lot more than just the scenario and going back into the crates and whatnot, man. There's a lot more to come. But man, we happy that y'all, you know what I'm saying, been able to come over, join us, get things started. What y'all got coming up, man? Like, what's on the horizon next? You know, because people definitely have a lot of time right now to get that content in.
Yeah, man. So we got we just dropped the first part of the 4-part series for the We Coming For You cast WrestleMania watch along. Had to break that mug up because it was over 2 nights and 6 hours. So you'll get it a little bit at a time. But other than that, man, we're gonna come with the fresh content. Just the framework of our shows is we usually get into the wrestling news. We usually pick the news that everybody else ain't talking about. And then we get into whatever happened on the shows, and we pick the I'm Black Y'all Wrestler. But then we also give out an award, and a very illustrious award that formerly called the You Fucked Up, You Know Your Ass Is Doomed Award. But it is now named the John Jones's Freedom Memorial Award.
Oh, no.
For the people.
You said the John Jones?
The John Jones's Freedom. Not John Jones, but John Jones's Freedom.
No, I appreciate that. No,
yeah, it's the memorial for his freedom, because he wants his freedom to die. And we're highlighting people that fuck up in the world.
Just keep doing dumb shit.
Yeah, just keep doing dumb shit for no reason. Like, that's what it is. So we'll keep bringing that. I think we're going to actually review a couple of these Dark Side of the Ring episodes, especially the New Jack one. We got a little bit more commentary.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. But yeah, we're just going to keep coming at y'all with fresh content, man.
Oh, Ray, before we go, too, we forgot to talk about this. I know, Matt, you want to talk about this in the beginning. That there's a new show in town, too, with pro wrestling now. We have
AEW. How's AEW doing on the black score?
They're actually doing pretty well on the black score. I mean, they don't get me wrong, they got a long way to go, just like everybody else. But it kind of helps when one of the executive vice presidents of the show is married to a black woman. I think they kind of look at diversity a little bit differently.
Here we go.
Yep.
So you know what I'm saying? Like they're doing pretty well, man. They actually
black woman keep you good though.
Yeah, she will. I did it, you know. You know, we
but you black though. You black though, Ray. It's not like a.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You're not reaching out.
Right. Well, but she makes sure that I don't go no other way though too. You know what I'm saying? Just make sure I'm still good.
Right.
So do I save this for like a return episode? I'm curious.
Yeah, because I got a question about Booker T's got to join his thing and all that. And like,
reality or wrestling.
Yeah, and then we got TNA that's still getting it too. Like, we got a lot of shit.
Because I got a question about, you know, we talked about what it looked like for, and don't answer this right now. We'll put this in the pocket. Maybe we'll come by and, you know what I'm saying, holler about this on y'all show or something.
Oh, definitely.
What would it look like for a top down from the floor of the ring all the way up to the top of the office for a black wrestling federation? What would that look like?
God. So Matt, I thought I was a conspiracy theorist, dog. Like, dude,
we don't have to do it right now. I just wanna put I wanna put that in the universe that is coming, because those are questions that I have. So I want to know.
I can tell you right now, Conspiracy Brother might be our Intercontinental Champion. I'm going to say that. Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Akbar X? Yes. Akbar need that belt.
And while we messing around, Master P did just buy a wrestling company. So we just going to put that. We're going to leave it with that.
You said he did what now?
Master P just bought a wrestling company in New York. And we're going to leave it at that.
Wow.
We're going to leave it at that.
That means it's going to be very badly ran.
Oh yeah. Mercedes is gonna be the top woman. Come out.
The champ here today, y'all. Well, we ran out of time. Next week, the champ is here.
Let us know everything that hit y'all up with though, and everything though. Let us know again.
Yes, sir, man. But like I said, my name is RVS. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat at FrenchIce06, FranchIce06. Where can I find you at?
And I am ROD, aka Rated R. You can find me on all social media platforms at R8TD_R. We are the We Coming For You cast now on the, what do you guys network? I forgot the name of the
channel. Straight Out Lowcast, SOOC Network. SOOC Network.
We are now on the SOOC Network.
You can follow
us on our, we do have a website, and get ready for this. This website that you can find our show streaming on is on prowrestlingblack.org. I'm not kidding.
Hold on, that wasn't available?
That's for real.
I'm surprised that wasn't available, period.
It was available. We actually bought the domain on an episode because we were talking about it. So that's why it's that.
To me, that I would thought that'd be one of the early ones that you would like, somebody would like buy and like be cool, like got it.
Well, Vince McMahon's bought every other domain in wrestling. He ain't interested in that one. So I can see why.
That's true. You know what? You're right though, man. You got it.
Wide open market. But hit us up on Twitter too. We got the show page. It's WCFYcast. So hit us up on there. Send us any emails y'all got, questions, man. We'll read them on air and we'll get it cracking.
Appreciate y'all. Hey, look, all good though, man. We got to come back on and talk about, like, is somebody can just come with a ring with a gun, would it be okay? I'm just saying, just a pistol with somebody. Not also, he take the clip out on the stage.
Austin, did Austin already do that?
No, Brian Pillman.
Somebody took the clip out. No, I mean, I need somebody to be like, yo, I have bullets in here. No, I need it to be shown, like, yo, like, you got to shoot in the air or something, like, yo, I was going to be fucking with somebody tonight.
No, I would love if when we come back around and do the idea that I had right there about what a black federation looks like, if you could create two or three characters for it and just have them kind of ready to go. Like,
oh,
backstory,
I got some great characters, man.
Where they from?
Wait till the gay character comes out though, and he fucking gets Intercontinental Championship.
Yo, oh, no.
He gonna whoop your ass though.
That's the whole point,
you think he's sweet? He gonna whoop your ass.
Yeah,
Hey, Ray, would New Jack be our world champion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's going to be Bruno San Martino. We're going to call him New Jack San Martino.
I'm going to figure out how to get New Jack on y'all show, though, dog. That is my goal. I'm going to be hitting him up, though. I'm gonna get New Jack on your show, though.
I think you could just hit him up. I think he's on Twitter at NewJack187.
No, I'm gonna like do the full like media, like yo,
we gonna do a documentary finding New Jack.
Yeah, I gotta find New Jack, the nigga Jack. We'll call it the nigga Jack, and it'll be like it's gonna be called the nigga Jack though. So it's a 3-part series. It's gonna be audio.
That might be the Ahmed Johnson version, though.
Oh, shit. Damn.
I think we got a documentary series. We got 30 for 30 right here.
Damn.
So
I got one before you get out of here, though. Is there any team that can beat the Bulls, though, in the 90s? I just have this out there because everybody throwing it out there, though, for y'all, too. Matt, don't respond. We'll do ours on our side, though, them two.
Are we talking about any team of all time?
Any 80.
Wait, you don't mean like a team from the 90s.
Matt,
right?
you're not supposed to be saying this.
No. The question needs to be clear though.
Yeah.
The question kind of doesn't make sense. So you mean
Let me stop it. Any team after 90, could they have beat the Bulls, period, in the 90s?
Any team after
Hold on. Let me help you with that question though. You're talking about the 90s Bulls. If any team after 1990 could beat the 90s Bulls.
Yes.
Okay.
That's tough.
Go ahead.
Because that's tough because, I mean, you still got to throw in the 74-9 Golden State Warriors team, but they don't play physical. And
exactly.
And the 90s Bulls was a physical-ass team. And they would be taking them down to the hole all the time. So
whose rules are we using? Which NBA?
Because
that's really what this question is based around.
How about we do 3 games for the new school, 4 games for the old school?
Oh, well, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, I won't answer it. I'm just saying. That's an interesting question.
Because that's a very interesting question.
That Golden State team is going to be dropping threes all day long. I mean, if you got Steph Curry shooting from damn near half court, you don't need to take it down low. I mean, what for? But again, you got that's a bad man, Michael Jordan, man. I don't give a damn what you're doing. He ain't going to just let you just beat him like that. That's not going to happen.
I gotta say no team, because I mean one of the things that kind of pushed me away from the NBA was just some of these cats taking better bumps than wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? All the flopping, all of that, man. Like I had to get off the train, bro. So I'm gonna say no. Can't no team post 90s beat the Bulls.
Let me flip that question though real quick to fit kind of where we've been at on the show today. What WWF or WCW champion from the 1990s would do the best in today's wrestling product?
Good question.
If you plucked him straight from the 90s in his prime.
Yeah.
And put him in now?
Yeah.
Man, you know what? 90s Shawn Michaels would eat right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he still kind of is a legend and all that, but I think it might be amplified because everybody has that style now. So, yeah, 90s Shawn Michaels. Either that or Brett.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, technically, this is still in the 90s. If you gave me – if you gave me 1997, 1998 Goldberg now in today's world, that might be shocking too. Like, if Goldberg didn't show up in the 90s and he just showed up now and he started just whooping people's ass, that might be interesting to see too.
That was my answer, but they would hate him more than even Roman Reigns.
Yes. With the fans out now and social media, they would hate that shit.
I mean, Goldberg in the 90s would be Brock Lesnar.
Right. That's true. That is true.
All right, fellas. Well, hey, man, we appreciate y'all time, man. We're looking forward to the content. I appreciate being on the program right now.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to get progressively drunker as these WrestleMania shows come out. So looking forward to hearing that.
I've been listening though, Matt. Though, I know it's going. Your curve is coming though sooner.
Yeah.
As they say, the Corona curve is like, you know, like, are we flattening out though? I'm waiting to hear you to go up. Like, there's a different thing in the.
I'm gonna fall asleep in about a show and a half, depending on how quick they do. I'm gonna fall asleep for about 20 minutes and then come back. I missed the whole match at some point.
That's fine.
Oh yeah, so, I think I remember that point. It's probably like episode 3 or 4. I remember.
Yeah,
that.
I think it's episode three because I missed an entire match because I just the drink just overtook me and I had to take a nap real quick.
That's real. No, man,
we appreciate being on the network, man. We're both big fans of the network and what y'all are doing. Yeah, man, we're just glad to contribute, bro.
We just literally like dudes that's out there trying to just get money randomly. Not his money. Just real. Actually, you know what? Ain't money though for us both. I don't want to speak for Matt. Really, it's just wanting to speak our truth and like just have a good time and understanding, knowing that back in the day, almost like I feel like our show is like the back in the day show of your shows that weren't homogenized with being a national terrestrial show. It's something that you can feel, and you can feel the people that there's going there, who they are. And that's
I think that's fair, man. We just want to I basically look at what we do as not letting anything slide. We're not letting nothing slide. If it happens and it gets on our radar, we gonna talk about that.
So Mr. Matt had a whole series going on for like a month and a half where people call my thought tour because I was traveling work though. The whole it's more than a month and a half. It was probably like a quarter.
You had a summer. It was a thought to it. You had a summer of thought. Yeah.
Good run for you.
Hot thought summer.
But no, brothers, we appreciate y'all. And as always, though, once again, let everybody know where you can hit y'all up at.
Yes, sir. RVS, you can find me at FranchiseO6, FranchiceO6, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, all that good stuff.
And you can find me at Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all that good stuff at R8TD_R. Get at the We Coming For You Cast Twitter account as well as WCFYCast.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
We appreciate it as always.